Luke chapter 10, verse 38. If you have that, say amen.
Amen.
Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Don't look neath the gates of pearl. Don't look on the street of gold. Don't look by the walls of jasper, or among the many sights untold. For I've been longing and I've been waiting for the precious Holy One to see. There will be, through the countless ages, look for me at Jesus' feet. And when she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. This wonderful place, the feet of Jesus. Probably David found this place when he said in Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my rock, my refuge, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowl and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Moses probably found that place whenever God told him that there was a place beside him that he could go, that cleft in the rock. I bet he found the place called at Jesus' feet. Probably Jacob found that place too whenever he saw the angels descending and ascending from up and down the earth, and he said, the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. That's probably what Jacob was referring to, the place called Jesus' feet. I'm sure David probably found that place as well when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Imagine the still waters at Jesus' feet. I believe Job probably found this place at Jesus' feet when he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Jeremiah probably found the place at Jesus' feet when he was in the inner prison and he wrote, call unto me and I will answer him. I believe Ezekiel probably found that place called at Jesus' feet when he referred to Jesus as the wheel within the middle of the wheel. Daniel found that place in the lion's den. The Hebrew boys found that place at Jesus' feet in the midst of the fiery furnace. I'm thankful today that we have a place that we can go. It's at Jesus' feet. And though the world may turn against us, though the world is bound for hell this evening, no matter what way it turns, folks, you can look for me at Jesus' feet. Because at Jesus' feet there's joy, at Jesus' feet there's deliverance, at Jesus' feet there's peace, at Jesus' feet there's wisdom, at Jesus' feet there's healing, there's help, there's hope, there's victory. I'm thankful tonight that there is a place that we can go, and it's at the feet of Jesus. And Mary found this place at Jesus' feet. She found the comfort. She found the peace that she needed. She found rest from the weary world. But actually, you'll find that Mary was at Jesus' feet three different occasions. The first of all, we find here in our text tonight, the first thing we see about worshiping at Jesus' feet is exactly that. Mary, number one, worshiped at His feet. Because it said that she had a sister, Martha did, called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what it said, and heard His word. I believe that goes along with worshiping, and I'll tell you about it here in just a little bit. Why? Because, you know, a lot of people are afraid of that word worship. A lot of Christians are afraid of that word worship. It seems to be unexplainable. You don't know really what worship is and what worship isn't. But the Bible says in the book of John that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you know what? You can go to a church and hear a good sermon. You can go to a church and hear singing. You can go to a church and go to a good Sunday school class, and you still can't find worship. Why? Because worship is not about circumstances. It's about us humbling ourselves in front of God and telling Him how much He's worth to us. That's exactly what worship means. It means worth-ship. That means we tell God how much He's worth to us. And that's exactly what Mary was doing at His feet when she was just sitting there listening. I don't know what Jesus said, but she just kept saying, tell me again, tell me again, tell me again. And I'm so thankful the story never goes old. And tonight, if we really want to worship Him, we need to forget about everything around us, humble ourselves, and say, Lord, You're worthy, You're worthy, You're worthy. Because at the end of this life, in the book of Revelation chapter 5, it said there was no one worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof, but thank God John saw a lamb. What? John saw a lamb. And they began to say, worthy, worthy is the lamb that was slain. And tonight, I don't care what you're going through, you need to go to His feet and worship Him, because He is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I think there are three things you need to do before you die. And three things everybody needs to do before they die. Number one, they need to get saved. That's the most important. Number two, lead someone else to Jesus. And number three, have your good hallelujah hangover. Everybody needs to do that at least one time before they go to heaven. Because you're getting practiced up. You're going to shout when you get to heaven anyway, so let's go ahead and get practiced up. What do you say? Well, they might call me a holy roller. You know what? Holy roller ain't all that bad. I thought about this today. You know what? If we're saved, we're holy, right? And if we're a roller, that means we're going somewhere. So, hey, that's pretty good to me. So when they call you a holy roller, just say, thank God I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Why? Because we're not ashamed to tell Him how much He's worth to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, Brian, I don't feel like it. Well, start telling Him how much He's worth to you. Then you'll feel like it. We say it over and over again. What? Feeling does not have any effect on worship at all. I don't care how you feel tonight. I don't care if you're tired. We've been in 56 services in 30 days. And I'm up here preaching tonight. We was in Cleveland this week and Marion this week and preaching and traveling and probably traveled over 1,000 miles this week. I know some of you have traveled even more than that for your job. But you know what? You're here and I appreciate that. But I'm telling you what, don't give me that excuse that you're tired and you don't feel good. Start praising God, telling Him how worthy He is, because He is worthy. My land, come on folks, He saved us. He saved us from a life of sin. I don't have to go to hell. He set me on a solid rock. He's kept me for all these years. He's worthy of our praise. What? Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus comes into a house. Two women had the same daddy, the same mommy, the same brother. But they were totally different. Martha was busy working. And boy, I wish more people would be busy working. I'm not discounting her then. I'm sure she was a very hard worker. But, this is it. She was working so hard, she overlooked Jesus. And we could get so caught up in doing godly things and doing good things that we overlook Jesus. You say, Brian, how do I overlook Him? You overlook Him when you don't praise Him. You overlook Him when you don't read your Bible. You overlook Glory to God. You overlook Him when you don't pray to Him. My wife would be terribly mad at me if I didn't talk to her at least once a day, twice a day, three times a day, four times a day. But yet some of you haven't talked to God for over a year. So you're way behind. So go ahead and get caught up tonight. Tell Him how worthy He is. He's worthy tonight. We get so caught up in the busyness of life. And the devil, like I said this morning, gets us distracted. And sometimes it's even good things. I'm not saying that. But in the midst of all the work, in the midst of all the effort, don't overlook Jesus. Take time to praise Him. Mary didn't overlook Him, though. She sat at His feet. Maybe I can hear her say something like, yeah, shh, 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 quiet, quiet, quiet. The Master's talking. I want to hear what He has to say. So folks, don't get mad at people that just like to sit and listen and worship God. Don't get mad. Don't get jealous. Why? Because Jesus said of Mary that she had chosen the good part. Mary was basically saying, Martha, the dishes will be dirty tomorrow. The house will be dirty tomorrow. Let's forget about the work right now. Jesus is in the midst. Let's just sit and worship Him and have a good time. Let's hear Him speak to us. Folks, I'm telling you what, Jesus passes by at certain times. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't have to sing. Sometimes I don't have to preach. Sometimes I don't have to work for Him. I just have to sit and glory in His presence and say, Lord, You are worthy. I thank You. That's what I was trying to get us to do tonight. Don't worry about asking Him for anything. Just praise Him. What? Praise Him for who He is and what He's done. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Don't overlook Jesus. Don't overlook Him. Hallelujah. I bet she just kept saying, tell me again, Jesus. Tell me the story again. Tell me the story again. You know, a lot of people get upset at people that go to the altar all the time. You know what? I ain't worried a minute about those folks that go to the altar all the time. I'm really worried about those that haven't been to the altar since Moby Dick was a minnow. In fact, I'm worried about some of y'all that I've been here for almost 5 years, haven't heard you testify one time. Well, you haven't called on me. We shouldn't have to call on you. If He's done something good for you, tell it. But make sure it's Him. Don't get up and start praising and then give us a moaning. We don't want a moaning. I'm tired of moanings. God's been too good to us. To glorify the devil, hallelujah. That's what we do. We glorify the devil and tell the people how much power he has. He don't have no power. God is God, and beside Him there is none other. We worship Him for who He is, because He's worthy. And how do we worship Him? We worship Him at His feet. Then in John chapter 11, the Bible says they sent for Jesus. Mary's and Martha's brother was dying. Jesus wasn't in a hurry. And really, I thought about this today. He was the great physician, and He was the resurrection and the life, so He didn't have to hurry. See, because when you're the great physician, and when you're the resurrection, there's no emergencies. Catch that? So it didn't matter if he came 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, a week. It didn't matter. He could have healed him from his sickness just as easy as he could have raised him from the dead. But why did he do that? You know why. The Jews believed they could pray for 3 days, and if they would strike a certain prayer in harmony with God, that the spirit would go back into the body would have been raised. It's what they believed. They believed that the spirit of the body hovered for 3 days around the dead body. So that's why Jesus had to come on the fourth day. Because on day four, hope was gone. On day four, nobody would have said, it was my prayer that raised him up. It was my faith. It was my prayer that caused Jesus to come. No!
He came late on purpose.
Because he knew he could raise him up. D.L. Moody had to preach a funeral for his first funeral and tried to find out. He said, well, I'll just find out how Jesus preached a funeral. That should be good enough for me. And when he got to reading the Gospels, he found out Jesus never did preach a funeral. He just broke him up. Undertaker's worst nightmare was Jesus Christ when he came into a room. But there, Jesus came. The first one to meet him was Martha. Martha, brother, my Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not be dead. Then Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. And she, being the spiritual one, began to quote Scripture, I know he shall rise again at the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. She saith unto him in verse 27 in John 11, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the God, which should come into this world. And in between verse 27 and 28, there's some dialogue that's missing. And we'll find out what the dialogue was in verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come, and look what it says, and calleth for thee. So somewhere between verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, where's Mary? Where's Mary? I remember what she did at my feet. How's she reacting to this? And so they got Mary. And Mary, as soon as she heard, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. So she met him outside of town. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. They thought she was going to go to the funeral. They thought she was going to go to the grave to mourn over her brother. She didn't go to the grave. She went to the resurrection. And look at what she did. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. The same words that her sister said. But these words were different. These words struck something within the heart of God. Because when Jesus saw her weeping, that's the second point, she worshipped at his feet and wept at his feet. When he saw her weeping, the Bible says he groaned in the Spirit. How many of you have ever groaned for lost loved ones? How many of you have ever groaned for prayers being answered in your family? I don't think none of us have ever groaned like Jesus groaned that day. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And then, verse 35, we all know it by heart, Jesus wept. So not only did Mary worship at his feet, but she wept at his feet. What does this tell us? That when we come and when we worship him in spirit and in truth, Jesus said, that's the good part. That's what he wants us to do. But he also lets us know that sometimes it's okay to come at his feet and just cry. When did us dads ever think that it was wrong to cry? It's not wrong. Don't ever teach your young men and your kids and your boys not to cry. It's okay to cry. If Jesus, the Son of God, cried, I think it's okay for us to cry. So many times we want to hold back the tears because of pride. And some of you just have had a bad week. You'll just be honest. I don't know what some of you have been through this week, but some of you have been through a bad week. And you know what? Some of you probably just need a good crying spell. And you know what? It's okay. As long as you do it at His feet. As long as you come to His feet. Can you imagine her tears pooling up around His feet and her tears touching His toes? And then I can hear her crying and hear her moaning for her brother. And her tears, even though she may not have been able to say anything else, Jesus understood her groaning. And He began to cry for her. He began to cry for those around Him. He began to cry for Lazarus because he was a friend. And can you imagine Mary starting to feel something wet on the back of her neck? And she looked up and saw the eyes of Jesus crying. Boy, I'm glad Jesus cried. I'm glad it's okay for us to cry because that shows me that He knows exactly what I'm going through. And if I just come to His feet and worship Him and thank Him for who He is, it's okay for me to cry. It's okay to say, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how I'm going to survive without Him. How am I going to make it through this week? How am I going to make it through the day? How's my marriage going to survive? You don't have to have the answers. Just come to His feet. Come to His feet. Say, Lord, help me. And if you cry to Him, He understands. He understands. She worshipped at His feet. She wept at His feet. But then thirdly, in the very next chapter, John 12. The third time she came to His feet was a very different occasion. Chapter 12, verse 1 says this, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper. And here's Martha again, serving. Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Look at what Mary did. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and look, and anointed the feet of Jesus. And wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. She came and worshipped. She wept. But we also see her worthlessness at His feet. She was showing her humility. She was showing Him everything that she had accumulated. This was very costly. This was her dowry. This meant everything to her. This was her life. This was what was given to her husband when they were married. She was saying, I don't care if I marry again. I don't care if I marry ever in my life. You're all I need. I'm satisfied at Your feet. And she poured the ointment over His head and it dripped down to His feet. She began to wipe His feet with her hair. And the Bible says the odor filled the room. And remember the very text that I read you in Luke, where it said when Mary had chosen the good part that Jesus would never forget that. And look at what she did when she gave Him all of her will, when she gave Him and showed Him how worthless she was, that she was nothing without Him. Look at what happened. We don't have Scripture to prove this, but we find out that Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He was about ready to be crucified. And I tried to look it up today and I couldn't find it, but we know that this smell, when she anointed His whole body with it, He just didn't get rid of it that day. I believe that as the Roman soldiers whipped His back, I believe that as He carried the cross up the Via Dolorosa, I believe as He passed by people, people just said, smell that? It smells like the rose of Sharon. It smells like the lily in the valley. I believe that as He hung on the cross and as the winds and the storms began to blow, I believe Mary's ointment could be, the scent could still be smelled around that cross. Mary was there. His mother was there. Mary Magdalene was there. In fact, she was preparing him for his burial, so it went all the way to the tomb. Because they came on that morning to anoint his body, but they didn't need to. She had already done that. She had already done that in that room that day. She was preparing him for burial. And her worthlessness and her humility and everything that she brought to his feet, Jesus took with him to the cross. And all of her worthlessness died on the cross when he died and said, "It is finished." But thank God, because he died and because he took her sins upon his back and took my sins and your sins, it wasn't over. Thank God when he rose on that third and appointed day, he gave us victory. And thank God her worthlessness and everything that she had and the ointment that she poured over him not only went to the cross and went to the tomb, but thank God it went all the way to heaven. Hallelujah. And every now and then when his spirit comes by, I can catch a whiff and I can say, "Wow, isn't that the Rose of Sharon? Isn't that the lily in the valley?" Folks, his presence is with us. He never leaves. And I'm thankful that when we come to his feet, we can worship him. We can weep. But more importantly, we need to show him that we're nothing without him. We need to bring our sin and our burdens and our cares to his feet. And then one of these days, if we do that, if we accept him as our Savior, one day soon and very soon, the Bible says, the great picture that Kevin talked about today, I'm so glad he did that. It was so wonderful what he did this morning. But how we're all going to gather, every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, from north, south, east, and west, we'll all gather together. And we'll all speak the same language. We'll all sing the same song. Everyone will be in tune. And we'll all lift a mighty anthem to him and say, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Amen. And we'll bow at his feet. We'll bow at his feet. And I'm thankful today that I've already bowed once. Amen. So whenever I bow again, I'll gladly bow my feet to him. Cast my crowns at his feet and say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." What do you need to bring to his feet tonight? He's here. He wants to save you. Whatever burdens you've experienced this week, whatever you're going through tonight, it's okay. Bring him to his feet. Let's all stand tonight.